The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Donald Trump's election campaign has come under fire after three of his former aides were charged by the special counsel, claiming that his campaign was eager to coordinate with the Russian government to damage Hillary Clinton. Now, we're joined for a very exciting US slot today by Cal and Marion. Guys, thanks for talking to us on The Last Word, as always.
Always. Nice to hear another female voice on there besides Marianne.
Yes, indeed.
Welcome.
Great. Cal, let's start with you after that, after you're being so nice. But go on, tell us an awful lot of twists and turns in this story at the weekend. Break it down for us, I suppose. An awful lot happened over the weekend. Kind of simplify it a little bit for us.
Wow, simplifying. Well, you've given me a real challenge. This is the kind of stuff that makes people hate Washington. No matter who wins the election, the other party does all that it can to undermine who the president is. Republicans did this with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, and now and not just Democrats, but Republicans in the so-called establishment are doing the same thing with Donald Trump. They hated the election outcome. They predicted Hillary Clinton was going to win. They haven't been able to get over it. Now, these three indictments, Paul Manafort, who is not exactly somebody who is going to be an Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts of America, is alleged to have colluded as opposed to conspired, which is a federal crime, collusion, people collude all the time, in offshore banking, money laundering, and other nefarious stuff. But all of this happened before his brief tenure as chairman of Donald Trump's campaign. There was one of his assistants, Rick Gates, was also indicted. They're both under, well, Manafort's under house arrest now with a $10 million bond, if you can believe that. And Gates got a $5 million bond to keep himself out of jail until the trial. Then the third guy, this guy named George Papadopoulos, was somebody who the president describes as a not only a liar, everybody who disagrees with Trump is a liar, but also a low-level functionary. He supposedly is cooperating with the special counsel. That's about as brief as I can make it.
Let's have a listen, actually, Cal, before we go on any further. Kevin Downing, the attorney for Donald Trump's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, who you mentioned there, he's calling this indictment ridiculous, and he's saying that there's no evidence his client colluded with the Russian government. Let's have a listen.
I think you all saw today that President Donald Trump was correct. There is no evidence that Mr. Manafort or the Trump campaign colluded with the Russian government. Mr. Manafort represented pro-European Union campaigns for the Ukrainian. And in that, he was seeking to further democracy and to help the Ukraine come closer to the United States and the EU. Those activities ended in 2014, over 2 years before Mr. Manafort served in the Trump campaign. Today, you see an indictment brought by an Office of Special Counsel that is using a very novel theory to prosecute Mr. Manafort regarding a FARA filing. The United States government has only used that offense six times since 1966 and only resulted in one conviction. The second thing about this indictment that I myself find most ridiculous is a claim that maintaining offshore accounts to bring all your funds into the United States as a scheme to conceal from the United States government is ridiculous. Thank you.
Marion, it's ridiculous. Are you buying it?
No, and I'd just like to point out in the first paragraph of what this lawyer said, he basically lied outright. Viktor Yanukovych, who was the pro-Russian former president of the Ukraine, who Paul Manafort worked as a lobbyist for years, apparently, according to the FBI documents, he got $17 million from Yanukovych within a two-year period. He said that he was trying to help him to become pro-EU, get him into the EU, make him more democracy-friendly. This, the absolute opposite is true. He was always a Putin guy. The number of things that happened in the Ukraine while he was president, of corruption, of violence, of shooting on demonstrators who were pro-Western. So, I mean, this in itself is an absolute lie. I think that, just going back to what Cal said here, it's very interesting how the Trump people and his press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, yesterday, their line of defense is basically, Manafort was a crook long before he worked for us. I mean, that's the best that they were able to come up with yesterday.
Actually, Marion, hold that thought for a minute. We'll have a listen to Sarah Huckabee Sanders and what she did say yesterday. Let's have a listen to that clip.
But look, today's announcement has nothing to do with the president, has nothing to do with the president's campaign or campaign activity. The real collusion scandal, as we've said several times before, has everything to do with the Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, and Russia. There's clear evidence of the Clinton campaign colluding with Russian intelligence to spread disinformation and smear the president to influence the election. We've been saying from day one there's been no evidence of Trump-Russia collusion, and nothing in the indictment today changes that at all.
And Marion, the significance then of this George Papadopoulos guy?
Yeah, that's much more significant. Now, I'm sure Cal has gone through the, and every journalist in America, I think, has gone through the affidavits and the filings with a fine-tooth comb. But to me, what's most interesting is this guy, George Papadopoulos. Look, the Trump campaign back in March, April of 2016 was completely fly-by-the-seat-of-your-pants operation. I am not kidding when I say they probably would have accepted me as a volunteer if I'd volunteered. They had so few staff. I went up to offices in Iowa and place like that before the primaries. There was nobody there. So they were going to take who they could get at that stage. This young guy, Papadopoulos, 28, 29 at the time, decided that he would become a foreign policy advisor. He volunteered for them. Because they had so few people, it was very easy for volunteers who were singularly ill-qualified for what they were doing to get quite high, quite fast within the campaign structure. Now, they're saying today he was the coffee boy. Trump said he's a liar. The fact is that Trump described him as an excellent guy in a meeting with the Washington Post, where he described him as a member of his foreign advisory team. The fact is, Trump also tweeted out a picture of his national security meeting with him in the picture sitting two or three places down from Trump. So they did know this guy. Now, what he refers to in his various affidavits and other things is that he says he spoke with, you know, he ran all this Russian stuff through a campaign supervisor and also a senior campaign official. Now, I think Cal will agree with me, back around that time between, say, April, March and June of 2016, there were only about five or six people who were working within the Trump campaign at that capacity. There was Corey Lewandowski, there was Paul Manafort, there was Jared Kushner, there was Don Trump Jr. who was hovering around the peripheries. There weren't that many people who he could have been referring to. Now, it has been said by various FBI people, including the people who filed affidavits before the court, that Papadopoulos is... he's basically the minnow to catch the whale. They said he is a very, very small part of what is a huge investigation. And I think all of the second guessing of what might be going on is kind of pointless, but this is going to get a lot bigger. I think that the respect people have for Robert Mueller and his formidable team of investigators, who are really the A-team of you know, financial terrorism criminal lawyers in the US, they're going to keep going until this is resolved in some way. And it may have nothing to do with Donald Trump in the end. Donald Trump may be, you know, it is possible that he's entirely ignorant and innocent of all this. It seems unlikely, but it certainly seems that, given that, you know, take the meeting that Donald Trump Jr. had with the Russian woman, the lawyer, in June in Trump Tower, where he said he loved it, the dirt on Hillary Clinton. We now know of two definite attempts by the Russians to meet with senior Trump official people, senior Trump campaign people, to get dirt on Hillary Clinton. So it seems prima facie that there was some kind of collusion, that the Russians wanted to give them dirt on Hillary Clinton, and they were more than happy to take it.
Tal?
Well, this dirt stuff goes on in every campaign, and of course, the Democratic National Committee and the Hillary Clinton campaign have their fingerprints on this Fusion GPS and fake Russian dossier that supposedly had Trump cavorting with prostitutes in a Moscow hotel room. So, you know, getting dirt on your opponent is characteristic, unfortunately, of every political campaign. We're seeing it in local races here in the United States right now. But I think Sarah Sanders was correct in her statement yesterday that there's a lot more evidence, hard evidence, of collusion with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and the Russians. Hillary Clinton signed off on a deal when she was Secretary of State to sell 20% of America's uranium supply to the Russians. And following that, there were multi-million dollar contributions to the Clinton Foundation from uranium interests in Canada, along with a $500,000 speaking fee for Bill Clinton in Moscow. Now, if that doesn't stink to high heaven, I don't know what does.
Marion?
Unpick a couple of those things there. Okay.
Well, now, briefly, because we want to move on to Kevin Spacey. So briefly.
Okay. Briefly, as you know, Hillary Clinton had nothing to do with that uranium deal. It was a nine department sign-off. She wasn't even involved. Secondly, not a single ounce of American uranium has been exported to Russia in any way. No license has even been issued. And thirdly, Cal, you know that money was given to the Clinton campaign long, long, long after that deal was done. So this thing about Hillary Clinton and uranium, you would think the way people are talking that she drove a ton of uranium to Russia in a truck herself, parked it and left it there. There was no uranium given to Russia, not an ounce.
Cal? Can we move on to Kevin Spacey?
We can go back and forth all day. I think, you know, your listeners may run off the road on the M50 there by the time they fit. Look, here's the thing. These kinds of unrestricted investigations with unlimited amounts of money going after anybody they can find for anything and for any reason that's not tied to the original purpose of the investigation go on forever. This is one of the reasons that the old special prosecutor law under the old Watergate fiasco during the Nixon administration was allowed to expire in the late 90s because people were tired of it. Both parties were. Now we got this special counsel thing. There's a great Wall Street Journal editorial today which says, among other things, that these kinds of things should be left to congressional investigations where you have people coming in under oath, public testimonies, and total exposure of what is going on. Most of Robert Mueller's investigators are on the record as having been Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama supporters, contributors to their campaign, and that, in my view, is going to taint any results that come out of this.
Okay, let's move on to Kevin Spacey. Marion, tell us, this is the other big story that's coming out of the States at the weekend. I suppose, tell us exactly what we've heard.
Okay, Kevin Spacey, what surfaced was that a young actor, a guy called Anthony Rapp, claimed that when he was 14 years old, that Kevin Spacey made sexual advances on him while the young actor was attending a sort of a party in Kevin Spacey's home. The two of them were appearing in plays around at the same time. Now, Kevin Spacey came out in response to this claim, which is really shocking. This was a 14-year-old child, and he said that basically that if he did behave as this young actor describes, Anthony Rapp, that he owes him an apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behaviour. Sorry, Kevin Spacey, it's criminal behaviour. It's not deeply inappropriate. And then he says that he's sorry for the feelings. But then he goes on to say that basically he's now chosen to live as a gay man. And he implies in his statement that the reason that, you know, that he conflates basically the fact that he was gay in the closet and the fact that he molested this young boy. Okay, now this is doing such a disservice to the gay community. For decades and decades, the big sort of lie about gay people, which was perpetrated by homophobic people, was that gay people were basically child molesters. That, you know, if you were gay, you were a paedophile. They tried to conflate the two. And, you know, after years of progress, Kevin Spacey basically kicks it right back to there and helps to fulfill these prejudices again. So the gay community, as you can imagine, are absolutely furious and deeply upset by this, and they're saying that for him to include the two things in the same, you know, in the same comment, in the same tweet, I believe it was, is just wrong and disgusting. And you know, he's trying to use one to excuse the other.
Absolutely.
Just so you know, House of Cards, which I think was limping along for the last couple of series anyway, is now Netflix has announced that it's being cancelled. And so not only is Kevin Spacey off the screen, but a lot of very fine actors and writers and other people who had no part in this are not going to lose their jobs.
And they've
well.
Actually just, yeah, they've announced just that they've actually suspended the production of season 6 in the middle of it. I think what we'd heard yesterday was that there wasn't going to be another season after this. But Cal, what kind of coverage is this getting? Is it a lot of coverage in the States?
Well, it's huge, and not only in the show business publications like Hollywood Reporter and Variety, but also in mainstream media, the New York Times, Washington Post, and there are also political connections, too. The Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Academy has announced it's going to come up with a code of conduct now, and as I write in my column today, I hope it has some teeth in it, along with the promise you'll never work in this town again if you violate it. But the political connection is really interesting. I've just found 1995 law here in the United States that allows people who are accusing a member of Congress of sexual harassment, actually it doesn't allow them, it requires them to go into counseling and mediation, and if a settlement is reached, guess what? The member of Congress doesn't have to pay for anything out of his own pocket. There's a special fund in the U.S. Treasury of $15 million that pays it for him. If this is not outrageous, and if this doesn't add to the anger of an awful lot of people who believe that Washington operates on a totally different plane than the rest of the country, I don't know what does.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there. That's all we have time for. Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.